podcast you are currently listening to is called Bad Play Style, in which we all play the same video game and then talk about it, during the course of which we will swear a ton and probably spoil every single aspect of the video game. I heard some claps, so let's do it. Okay, welcome to Bad Playstyle. It's a weird one this week, folks. My name is Matt. Joining me is, as always...
Keenan.
And...
The very best of the three, Owen, of course.
And we have a special guest this week.
Ben, the new guy.
Ben, the new guy. That's how he wants to be known. You may recognize him... if you're a longtime listener, as our very excellent theme producer. If the noises you heard, the fantastical dance noises that you hear at the beginning and end of every single podcast, were created by this man right here. Yeah. And a while ago...
Our in-house composer.
Our main man, Owen, asked Ben if he wanted to be involved on an episode, and I believe it was Ben's suggestion that we do The Return of the Obra Dinn, although I could be mistaken there. Was that... What happened?
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. I'd agree with that statement.
So Return of the Obra Dinn was the game that we did.
Or in Ben's parlance, that pirate game.
That pirate game, although I don't think there's any pirates in it.
Unfortunately not.
No pirates.
There's every other trapping of high seas adventure other than pirates.
Every piece of Age of Sail you could want except pirates.
Although the hobo motherfucker that like hauls you to the boat in the first place.
He seems like a pirate.
He could be a pirate.
Yeah.
Maybe. Who knows?
Like one that fell off a pirate ship.
Or like maybe like when he was younger.
Yeah. Like he's retired now.
Yeah.
Because being a pirate sucks ass.
He's too old for that shit.
He's too old and survived that shit.
Yeah.
So, Return of the Obra Dinn, good game. I thoroughly enjoyed it. We'll talk about it more in a little bit. Before that happens, we got to do our sort of pregame ritual here, where we talk about what we've been playing since the last time we recorded talking about what we've been playing. I think that in Bad Playstyle tradition of throwing guests directly into the bonfire, we should start with Ben.
Yeah, Ben, sure. What have you been playing recently?
Tropical Freeze, the reissue of the Wii U Donkey Kong Country game.
All right. Okay. Is that one of the ones that requires the drum controller?
Unfortunately not, no.
Okay.
It's like a proper Donkey Kong Country game.
Okay.
And it's also hard as hell. I highly recommend...
In proper Donkey Kong Country fashion.
Yeah, this is something else, let me tell you what.
Okay. Well, tell me what, like?
Yeah, tell us about it. What's the most fucked up thing you saw Donkey Kong do in that game?
Well, I mean, I think one of the hardest things is that they've got these secret levels where you have to get through the whole thing essentially without falling or getting hit once, more or less. And the levels are virtually impossible. So okay. I'm usually wasting about 10, 15 lives before I turn the Switch off and then call it a game.
I mean, that's like a nice, like, built-in way to like remind you to like stop playing so many video games and get out of the house. You know, it's just like
for sure.
Just putting like a really fucked up bonus level to like piss you off and make you turn off your game system.
Right, like, it's separating the gold from the bronze for sure.
Oh, well, we've been talking about this a lot lately. I don't know if we have a name for it, but it's this phenomenon where both you and I have come to the point where sometimes the video game tells you that it's time to stop playing the video game.
Yeah.
And as older gamers, we've finally started to listen.
Yeah. Yeah. I think part of it's the quarantine fatigue stacking onto it, though. Like,
right.
I believe that if my life had a regular life rhythm, that I'd be able to headbutt that wall way harder. But I can't right now.
speaking as the most hard-headed person, you are the most hard-headed person in this group, so that's saying something, was what I was saying. So I was also going to say, like, yeah, I've noticed a phenomenon too, where under the quarantine, my appetite for games that are difficult is next to none.
Yeah,
I want to play things that are really easy, And I want the game to be as close to a, like a cinematic experience as possible.
Yo, could you pass that checklist video game? Because I want that right now.
Right, exactly. Yeah, just give me attainable goals that make the brain make the good chemicals.
Oh shit, are we playing Uncharted next week?
Yeah, exactly.
Get so, that sweet, sweet endorphin drip.
So Ben, you've just been torturing yourself with Donkey Kong games. That's it.
Well, I was playing that, and then I played Hollow Knight a few weeks before that.
So you're torturing yourself.
Speaking of torturing yourself.
Yes, I mean, some people are doing it at the gym. For me, like, you know, I don't play a lot of video games ordinarily during, you know, just like springtime or whatever. And yeah, like I probably played a fair bit just this time. So
I hadn't thought about it in terms of like, because I'm a video game kid. I'm an inside kid, you know. I hadn't thought about it in terms of like, I only play Pokemon Go in deep spring and summer, sure, right? And sure. So I hadn't thought about that for other people. That's probably their relationship to video games. It's like they pretty much only play video games when outside sucks, yep, right? Yeah, oh, I hadn't thought about that. That's interesting.
I mean, okay. Outside currently sucks because it wants to kill us, but that's different.
It's not outside that wants to kill us. It's the other people outside. So
it's mutual.
Keenan.
Yeah. Is it my turn?
Well, Ben was going to say something.
I just wanted to plug all 6 Jackbox packs, too, because I've been playing those a lot.
Hell yeah.
I've heard you've been setting up like game nights on Zoom.
Oh, yeah. It's like a weekend thing at this point.
Nice. It's an institution.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
I don't think they've made a single Jackbox like set that I couldn't find any redeeming value in. That even my least favorite Jackbox pack has at least one game that I think is fantastic.
Which one's your least favorite?
I don't know. I know there's one. Okay. I know there's it's like maybe 2 or 3. Okay. They all kind of blend together, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
well, the thing is like you only remember the good games, right? So
yeah.
Like
yeah, it was 2. Jackbox 2 has Quiplash XL, which is good, but it's just Quiplash again.
Mm-hmm.
It has Bidiots, which is the one where you're like bidding on artwork or something, and then it has that one with earwax, the one where you're mashing sounds together.
Yeah,
oh, I like that one.
Yeah, I was really lukewarm on that, and then it has the one that's just a crappy version of Keep Talking or Everyone Explodes.
Well, so I would say earwax is the one out of that pack I like the most, but I would probably play any other pack before that. Is probably
exactly. That's what I mean. Is like even at their worst, it's still a great value. Like I don't regret buying it. I don't regret playing that one. Like it's all good.
Yeah.
Well, I just wanted to say that I really liked the bomb game until I found out about Keep Talking and Nobody Explodes. So.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's the whole market.
I wouldn't have discovered that if I hadn't have been talking about that pack. So.
Dude, have you played that with VR yet?
No.
It's tight because you actually like hold the bomb and like turn it over in your hands.
Oh, man, that sounds that makes me want to get a VR headset.
So Ben, we do VR headsets at my work with middle school kids.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time we did that, a kid forgot the table wasn't real and tried to lean on it and slammed into the floor.
Hell yeah.
Which is like, that's like peak VR moment, you know?
That's it. Yeah.
He was so into it, he forgot it wasn't real.
Try and sit in a VR chair, try and lean on a VR table.
So my peak VR moment was when we played whatever the job simulator, and they hand me a donut, and I'm like so ready to eat this donut, and then there's no donut when I put it in my mouth. And,
well, it still does the eating thing, though.
Does, but I didn't have a donut in my mouth, Matt, and that was important to me.
Hey, did you see that? Did you see that sensor? You can lick and it recreates any taste.
Oh, what?
Yeah. They made like a haptic taste thing.
Okay.
I'll believe it when I taste it.
Yeah, exactly. No, I'm just excited that somebody's going that direction. That's all.
Yeah.
I'm yeah.
Okay. Okay. So what I've been playing.
Yes.
I have lost all track of time. I can tell you how many days I've been in quarantine, but I don't know. As my roommate, was I playing Hunt Showdown before this episode?
Yeah, you were. You streamed Hunt Showdown today.
No. I mean, like, last episode, did I talk about that game?
Oh, yeah, you did, because you talked about like sound traps.
Okay, Keenan, I'll put it this way. According to Steam, which I have open in front of me right now,
you have put
79.3 hours into the Hunt Showdown in the last 2 weeks.
In approximately 3 weeks is where we're at on that.
Yeah.
That
well,
game.
So- The total figure is 108 hours, but it says in the last 2 weeks, which is in the window of
our last recording. I treat Hunt Showdown like a full-time job. I get it. So I've been playing a lot of that game, and then I have a couple friends who dove back into Final Fantasy XIV, and I've been playing more of that again.
If I can just jump in for a second. I put less than 79.3 hours worth of work into my full-time job in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... okay.
Keenan, if it's any consolation, I put 79 hours into Hollow Knight in 2 weeks too. Yeah.
Yeah. No, like it's one of those things like you find something that works for you in this environment and you just do it. And that's like, I don't really have any shame about it except to go like, holy shit, really? That happened. Okay.
I don't think Keenan's like lamenting what happened. I think he's just reeling in the years. You know?
Where does the time go?
that moment where you catch the Abyss's eye and you realize that it's super weird that you're a person.
That's a weird thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, those are the two big ones. I'm astonished with Final Fantasy XIV's game design and how different each character class works now that I've stepped into a different character class. They do a really good job of making all of those feel different in a way I'm proud of them for. I was playing a paladin, which is just a tank, and all you do is like swing your sword at shit. And then I switched over to rogue, and like the whole rotation and the idea and the mechanics you're working with are different, and that's really cool. Like, you care about your positioning instead of just fucking, you know, getting aggro.
Right.
Which is wild. Like, it's well thought out in a way I appreciate. But that's really the only thing of merit I have. They changed some of the damage models in Hunt in the last week, and that's better. They put in more poison traps and shit, and traps are awesome in that game. So trap shit up and watch people die.
Go.
Yep.
Yeah. Owen?
Oh, am I talking about what I've been playing?
Yeah. I'm imagining this won't be very long, but yeah.
No, I've only been playing my video game comfort food. I've not had the energy or will to, like, play things. Mm-hmm. So I played a ton of... No, I didn't play a ton of Animal Crossing. I played Animal Crossing often and did very little. And then I started working on my Kerbal Space Program save again. I think last time we recorded, I was working on getting a rocket... off of the planet that's like sort of an analog for Venus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you mentioned that last time.
So I developed a rocket that can get off its surface. I've run into weird technical issues like on a bug level, and I just got really frustrated and wanted to stop dealing with it. So I've just been like sort of puttering around doing like building like little surface spaces and doing cutesy like little space things that I don't have to think about very hard, that I can just sort of do as a rote action that like my brain knows how to do automatically. My Steam anniversary recently happened. I created a Steam account 16 years ago, which is an insane thing to think about and say.
Yeah, that's like literally half my life.
The kids, when I boot up my Steam account at work, they're always like, oh, how many games are in it? And I'm like, dude, this account is older than you. Shut up.
Yeah. Right.
So I don't know if I've said this on podcast before. My Steam account, the first thing registered to it was a Counter-Strike disc.
Yeah.
Now, that Counter-Strike disc was not mine. I believe, if I recall correctly, that I registered Keenan's Counter-Strike CD key because I didn't understand what Steam was or how it worked when it came out.
Yeah, that sounds right. I remember that.
Yeah, and then I think I bought you Counter-Strike when I realized like what had happened.
Right. Yeah, that sounds familiar.
It was an odd chain of events.
I don't hit mine until August 18th.
Really? Okay.
I'm looking at it here. August 18th, 2004.
That must be when I realized it and bought you Counter-Strike.
the connection at my dad's house became real.
Yeah, that might have been it too. And like, you tried to log into your Counter-Strike. It's like, dude, it says my key doesn't work. And it's like, oh shit! Like,
yeah, that sounds correct.
Yeah. And then the last thing I want to put on is we got an email to our dear podcast.
Yeah, let's do this now. Yeah.
Our shout out to Zane, who heeded the call for unsolicited pictures, and he emailed us a JPEG of Saint Geob the Eradicator, hero of Morrowind.
Hell yeah.
He didn't really have anything like super cool to say. He just said like, hey, I like the podcast, blah, blah, blah. So like, hey.
No, I wanted to say that I was having a tough day the day that I heard that we got that email from Zane. And Zane, you know, had some very nice words to say. And he said, like, you know, I really enjoy your guys' stuff. I was afraid that you had been arrested by the police or killed by COVID-19.
Yeah.
I think he knows, you know, the area of the country we're in. And it was very heartening to have a stranger care about this project.
Yeah, absolutely.
And also think that we're that upstanding as citizens. I've been an anxiety beast for, like, the last ever. And so, like, I haven't protested, but I know you guys have. So, like, you know, that's cool that he thinks that we're capable and awesome enough to get arrested during the protests.
Well, you know, the political history of this podcast is not a secret.
Nope.
You know? Yeah.
Right. Nope. So I just wanted to say thanks, Zane. It really lifted my spirits that day. Thanks, bud. And what are we sending? We sent him something, right?
Yeah, yeah. If you email us, we will give you a random game code off of a spreadsheet.
Well,
do you remember what we sent him?
I think I gave him Invisible Ink, which
I
have on good authority is a good game. I've actually never played it.
Really. I played that game. It's a fun game.
I think I have like 2 minutes registered on my Steam. It was like one of those moments where I bought the game on a recommendation. I booted it up, and then the game asked me to like learn its systems, and I was like, "Whoa, I'm way too tired to learn right now."
It's on sale right now, actually.
A frequent refrain of the video game literate of this like.
It certainly won't be by the time this airs, but it's on a dope sale right now.
I mean, it's an old indie game. You can find it on sale if you try hard enough.
Oh, also, yeah. I think it just came out on Switch too.
Okay.
Cool. Well, that's good. That's a fun game.
I'm sad that developer's newest game is a card game.
Yeah,
that's made by Clay, isn't it?
Yep.
We don't like card games around here.
Yeah,
card games aren't my thing. It's okay.
Okay. So me, Matt, talk about video games.
Hey Matt, what'd you play?
I played the world's most perfect game, Heat Signature.
Shout out to Tom Francis.
For approximately one minute, I jumped into a mission. I ran through the spaceship shooting everyone with my quick fire silence shotgun. Shot the capture target, vented myself out the nearest window, got in my pod and Alt-F4'd the game. And I believe this took about 3 minutes.
Yeah.
you just needed that quick hit, it sounds like.
Well, I wanted to play some Heat Signature, but I apparently wasn't down for like absorbing pertinent details of what I should be doing. I just wanted to do it. So that happened. And then I've been playing, I think I talked about this game on the podcast before, Islanders.
Which is
like you are presented with, I think, a procedurally generated island, and then you get a choice of like packs of buildings that get scored differently based on what things they are in proximity to, and the proximities are like different for each building. And your whole goal is to build the island up sort of naturally, as if it was an island where the population was steadily going up. And I really like that about it. And it's a very, very relaxing game. This was the game I started playing when I realized that I didn't want to do things that required thought.
Yeah.
And it was very nice, because it's very intuitive, the whole thing. The whole interface and the way that it works is very nice. And then I supported the Black Lives Matter itch.io bundle.
Oh Jesus, I meant to talk about that during my set, because when I got home today, I opened up that bundle.
Yeah.
And I played a game where I went through page after page, opening a new tab, games that looked interesting to me.
Yeah.
And then I stopped, and then I tabbed through all of them briefly, and then I just closed the browser window.
So they have a little thing up on the downloads page for that, where they mentioned like the interface that we have created for our website is utterly terrible for the level of product that you're getting in this bundle. So they're redesigning the UI of like how
that's
that all
cool.
works. just because of the Black Lives Matter bundle.
Well, and I'm sure that bundle has done like super well, right? Yeah,
it's,
like,
it's done great. It's done gangbusters. The point of what I was saying was that I've been going through, and I've been picking out games that look interesting and playing them. And I've been trying to pick games that look like single concept games. Like, they're not a couple of concepts layered together. It's like, no, it does this one fucking thing.
And there's a lot of that on Itch, right?
Yeah, like, a lot of that on Itch. Like, I found one that was delightful last night. It generates a tower of voxels to your specifications, and then you can fly around the tower and throw bricks into it.
I think I saw that, yeah.
And that's the whole game. And if you want to throw dynamite at the tower, you can do that too. And it's very fun. I would highly suggest it to any of you. I got into a good hour of just throwing dynamite at towers. It was a good time. And then I played this game that looked really complicated. It was like a biosphere generation game. It was called Intelligent Design. It was pretty cool, but I was fairly overwhelmed the whole time I was playing it, so I stopped. And then I played this game called, I think it was called Kids. It said it was a game about crowds, and it reminded me, it felt like I was in 2004 using Stumble Upon. And I had stumbled upon like one of those flash game websites. You remember those, Ben?
Vaguely.
Yeah.
It's like Newgrounds.
You're asking
shit,
the wrong
right?
guy about this. I was kind of on the Chips Challenge.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Awesome, underrated game.
It's funny you bring up Stumble Upon because, like, that is just fundamentally not how I interact with the internet anymore.
Yeah.
You know, like, that was like very much like that time.
Right, because it's pre-Reddit, it's pre-YouTube.
Yeah.
So you, everyone has...
The content hubs aren't there, so you just wander aimlessly.
Well, the content hubs are there, but they're very disparate and they're very niche. So it's like Something Awful is around.
Yeah, and like Slashdot.
Slashdot, Newgrounds, but those are all like, they have their very specific niche of what kind of content they're bringing you, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, when we were kids, we didn't have cool math games, but this is essentially, you know, like what you're asking for. So, I remember there was like Dig and Stumble, and they would bring you to these weird ass websites that were like Zombocom, but more interactive, you know? Mm-hmm, and that's what I feel like a lot of these games are like. People who aren't my age won't understand what I'm talking about, but it is a thought worth expressing, and I'm going to do it, damn it.
I'm a millennial and proud, god damn it.
Well, no, so because we're elder millennials, that's the thing.
I know.
Is that, like, we're even more fucked than regular millennials, and we hate them, too. Like, I saw this thing today where the Zoomers have started making fun of millennials and, like, millennial shit, like the word adulting. Mm-hmm. And stuff
We should have solidarity with our damned brethren.
Right, and that's, that's the other thing, is, like, I'm all about solidarity. That's kind of my whole thing. But also, yeah, you're right, kid. Fuck that. So that's where I'm at. I don't know about the rest of you three. But I'm ready to talk about Overdin. You guys are.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So Ben.
Sure.
What was bad in this game for you?
Do we want to summarize the game like we would?
Sure. This is why you're here, Kenan. keep me on the straight and narrow. Ben, what the fuck is this video game, and why did you suggest that we play?
Well, I think based on Owen's recommendation, having played a previous game developed by the same guy, I thought, this game looks pretty cool.
What's the previous game?
That was, Papers, Please? Is that what it's called, Owen?
Yep. Oh, this is from Papers, Please.
Oh, I forgot those were related!
Yeah. Okay. This is a Lucas Pope joint.
Dope.
And it looked really cool, it sounded cool, and I just figured, hey, it's one I could play on Switch, although I didn't play it on Switch. just everything that I read looked, sounded good, seemed relatively short, investigative. And
yeah, I really like those investigative games, so I was excited when you suggested it and you said that that's what we're doing. Plus, a couple of friends of ours they get together as like a house unit and play games together. And this is one of the games they played together, and they had expressed that they had a really good time. So
I could definitely see it being good for that because, you know, different people are going to think differently, obviously.
Catch different stuff. And yeah.
Yeah. Like you're going to notice like the little details written on the wall that, you know, I'm not going to be focused on because I'm going to watch, right. You know, like who's throwing the knife at who or whatever.
Or, right. Or like that girl's wearing her wedding ring. So her name can't be Miss. She has to be Mrs.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Which, hey, look, we're talking about what this game is. this game, to summarize it real quick, is it's a story about a ship that has returned that was lost at sea. It returns 4 years after it was lost at sea, and you are given a logbook.
Well, it returns with no crew.
It returns with no crew, and you're given a logbook from the ship that magically fills itself out as you learn information with the magic compass you are given that allows you to basically jump into
dioramas.
I guess it's a diorama because it doesn't move.
Yeah.
It's a diorama and you can walk around inside it because you're walking around the ship in relation to it. And then you can identify people based on a sketch in the book. And you have to basically figure out the fate of the entire crew with these dioramas.
You're an insurance adjuster, so you're supposed to determine the fate of everyone, so you can figure out what the company owes and who should be paid out their pensions.
Who should be paid
whatever.
And who should be penalized, and yeah. And so the game is really just a series of scenes, and it's your job as sort of the observer to try and put these things together, and it has a pretty rudimentary system of this guy died in this scene, and how did they die, and was it from someone else? And you basically just have to name the person.
I would push back on it being rudimentary. I thought the tools that it hands you for investigating are very thorough.
Okay, sure, but the menu layout and stuff is very simple, right? Like that's what I meant by that.
But it's the tools that are in those menus are robust. Like, yeah. You remember how I showed you, like, you can click on this thing and take a dude who's in this scene but not doing anything, and you can be like, I think that guy's name is this. You know?
Yeah, it's really good at showing you all the relations of anything that's in the scene you're in. You can bookmark, like, every scene that a specific person you're looking at is in, and then go to all of those to try and figure out who they are with the information there.
Yeah,
the game doesn't do a great job of explaining that sort of system at you.
No,
is the unfortunate part.
It doesn't at all. Yeah, I accidentally discovered most of the tools like halfway through, and it'd be like,
yeah.
Oh, I have to like go back to the beginning of the book now and like
yeah.
go through every single entry and like see like, what shit I missed. You know?
Like I understand tonally why there's not like a tutorial at the start of this game. It's like, okay, so let me just bring you up to speed on how your magic book and your magic pocket watch work. But
right.
Like at the same time, I really would have appreciated if someone could have told me how my fucking magic book worked.
Yeah.
So all yeah, right. Ben, what's wrong with this game? Why does this game suck? Tell us all the things you
what
think
do you
suck
not
about
like
it.
About this game?
I would say two things. Is one, like kind of like what we were saying there, that you know the storyline is almost like what you make of it. I think even going through and solving every murder and watching every scene and, you know, trying to piece it together, I still didn't get a full grasp of where everything was coming from. Mm-hmm. Like I thought the mermaids morphed into the little spiders, and I didn't realize that, you know, there were additional monsters jumping.
Those
on
are like separate scenes. It turns right. out. Right.
Right. But it looks like they're coming out of the nets. So it was hard.
Yeah.
Is this coming from here? Another thing that I found too, is that you could almost kind of guess your way through a lot of stuff. Like I'd often have two mysteries solved or two killings solved, and then I would know like the third person's death or the third person's name, and I would just keep plugging it away until I got one. So
right,
yeah, until the whole thing pops.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
So,
when you're sure about two, you can really fuck around with the third one, right? Because the game solidifies your ideas when you get three things right at a time. So three.
I think that dynamic is
right at a time.
I think that that's intentional. I think that there's a certain amount of like, yeah, I think it's this, and I'm sure about these other things, you know. Yeah, I think I feel like that's intentional because just based on the like it solves in threes thing.
Right. Yeah,
I always sort of perceive that as a sort of like soft anti-cheat, because if it told you when you got something right when you only confirmed one, then you could just brute force your way through this game without too much trouble.
Oh yeah. Right.
And so by upping it to you have to get three in a row, right? It really slows you down a lot in your ability to just like guess and guess and guess until the game says I'm right.
Sure.
Right, but I think like it's important also to like leave room for the player to be mostly right and not get 100% of the information correct in your investigation game, right? So like it's you need
right. It can't do the thing that Sherlock Holmes stories do, where Sherlock sees a detail you weren't even fucking told about, and that's the linchpin to the investigation.
You know, I've only right? ever like, read one Sherlock Holmes story, and that's exactly what happened in that story.
It's fucking awful, and I hate it. Like, yeah. Of course he's the best detective when he's the only one with all the information. Go fuck yourself. Like, yeah, so like, I really like that there is enough, like, wiggle room, but also, like, Matt pointed out and mentioned a few. There are some fucking details in this game. Like, it's kind of wild. Like, the hammocks are numbered, and the numbers are the same as the people in the crew manifest.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, so there's a couple of scenes where you're below decks, and you'll know, like, oh, this is the area all the Arabs hang out in. And you go down there, and you'll get one guy's name, and you'll be like, oh, that's all I need. Now I've cracked all four Arabs, because I can see them.
Right.
In the nets, you know?
Yeah. And so, like, once I'd sort of talked with him a little bit about a few of those things, like, it cracked open, like, oh, okay, like, the way this game graphically represents itself is really interesting because it's trying to do this, like, old 80s monochrome computer thing.
Like, Amiga shit, yeah.
Amiga, Apple IIe, whatever, right?
No, it's not Apple II. It's a Macintosh II Classic.
You're right.
Hold up. If you go into the graphics options, it'll give you different color palettes to pick from. And they are all the 80s and 90s era PCs.
80s and 90s era monochrome computers, yeah.
If you'll permit me a brief diversion from talking about the Return of the Oberdin, I was bicycling home the other day, and someone had a Macintosh Classic 2 out on their lawn for free.
Wow.
And you all know this computer. It's the little putty colored box with a floppy drive on the front. And it's got the little rainbow apple.
Yep.
And against my better judgment, I took it home.
Yes.
It has no cables. According to the owner, it worked the last time he used it 15 years ago. I know someone who owns the cables for one of these, so I want to borrow his cables and see if it works. But
dope.
Anyway, I just had to throw that in there because it is absolutely that like HyperCard style.
Yeah.
Adventure game that they made for this fucking thing.
And Owen, before we get too far off topic, I just wanted to welcome you to the iLife too.
Oh yeah. Actually, it's a fair point. This is my first Apple PC I've ever owned.
I'm rolling my eyes, Ben.
Excellent.
I had to jump on it, Matt.
You've succeeded.
I had to do it to him.
But Keenan, just real quick before you dive back in, sorry. I was going to say that the much like the UI belies the great like robustness of its tools and the level of detail in there, the graphics do the same thing.
Yep.
It cloys you into thinking that everything is very simple and that like the details would be very like obvious to you. It's like, no, there is a level of detail that in this game that it's sort of you gotta scratch for.
Well,
like I was saying, the lady's wedding ring, or like when I was standing behind you and you're like, oh, who's this fucking guy? I was like, oh, look how he's dressed. He's this type of guy on the ship, you know?
Right. Yeah. Right. So that's the thing, is like the visual style of this game, right? Like it's built in some sort of 3D game engine, I don't know what, but the visual style of this game is that it obfuscates details the farther away from something you are, because it sort of pixelate fuzzifies everything at a distance from you. And so you have to like get in a dude's grill and then you can see their face, or you can see their tattoo on their leg, or you can see like there's all these really interesting details on the character models that like the graphic style like forces you to get right up in their shit for.
Mm-hmm. If anyone who is listening has not played this game and has only watched it like on Twitch or YouTube or something, I want to say you're really doing yourself a disservice, because like the art style in this game does not encode into streaming video well.
Oh, I bet it's fucking artifacts like crazy.
Yeah, well, and it loses the crispness, and pixels blink in and out in a way that they don't in the actual game. So like, if you think it looks striking watching it on like YouTube or something, like I'm telling you, boot the game up, like get your hands on it, find someone who owns it. Like the Scott Manley, he's a like Kerbal and aerospace YouTuber, has a really interesting video talking about, in a technical way that I don't have the expertise for, about the way this game is rendered and why it doesn't render well in videos.
And the thing about it is like it does this weird thing where artistically it's one color and represents like sort of the drawings in the book and some other stuff, the way it renders everything, but it's also insanely immersive by doing that. Right. Mm-hmm. Like I found myself just sort of like losing an hour to this game early on before I hit the wall of like, okay, now I need to start cracking some of these people open, where like I was just excited to be jumping to the next scene. Right. Oh, what's this new thing? Oh, shit. Okay. Oh, whoa. Bugman. That's weird. Okay. Like and so like the initial exploration of it was super exciting. And then I had to gear shift into, all right, let's start crossing names off.
See, I had an experience where I also, much like you, just wanted to experience everything. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to go. But I sort of put a limiter on my own speed and made myself go through the game very slowly, because this is like a detail-oriented detective thing, right?
Yeah.
And I had to go through very slowly with full concentration at all times. And the game was very hard until I got 50% of the people knocked off. And then it was extremely easy. Like it was.
Yeah, there's definitely a tipping point in the population, and it doesn't even matter like who or what.
Like I thought I was 50% of the way through my playthrough when I got half the names cranked off the list. But when that happened, it all just came out in a flood. It was like a half an hour later I was done with the whole game.
Right. There's a point where it's really easy to start narrowing people down because you have enough names in the scene that, oh, this guy has to be this person. Right. And that dude over there is that person because he's over here.
Tron's like, eliminated so many groups. There's so many groups of four in this game, like four top men that all hang out together, or like four Russian dudes, or four Arab dudes, or four Chinese dudes, you know. And it's once you start crossing off people on those lists and be like, oh yeah, like Chiyote shot Nichols, and you're like, oh, that's that Chinese guy, okay, so he can't be this Chinese guy,
yeah. And then you can do the thing that Ben was talking about with those groups, where if you only have two left, like you just kind of move the names around a little bit and then you got it, right? Like
you got it. Yeah, well, the other thing is, you know, there's this thing that happens when I play Paradox games, like grand strategy games, where I'm thinking in this way where I'm not thinking about one thing, I'm thinking about like three or four things at the same time.
Right.
Sort of like moving them around like an 8-year-old shuffling a deck of cards, you know,
right.
It all makes sense. And if I stop doing that process and then try to come back later, it's not like you can't pick up that mess again.
Yeah. I definitely made the mistake of playing this game at a stint and like making a lot of progress and then taking a break from it for like 48 hours.
Yeah.
And it felt like I was starting the game over from scratch every time I set the game down for like,
I can see that being tough. Cause like once I'd finally started it, I pretty much cleaned it up in a day and a half. Like,
right. Yeah.
I think I beat it in a few days, but I definitely like, you know, I've forgotten everything. So I went back to those first scenes and kind of rewatched it all in kind of consecutive order, trying to figure out where I was.
Right.
Story wise, which really does help trying to figure out, you know, who did what.
I think the game does a really good job of like gradually bringing you on board to the scope and scale of what's happening. Because like when you first arrive at the ship, like the first corpse you find is that dude that the captain just like smokes. I think it's one of the higher up in the command.
It's the first mate.
Yeah, is it the first mate? Okay, I wanted to say first mate, but I wasn't confident if it was like first or third mate. But yeah, it's the captain executing the first mate, which
the
is like
first mate is like the second to last guy you find. So.
Yeah. So, but like that's like a really shocking thing, like right off the bat.
Right.
But also like on a ship where everyone's dead, it's like okay, cool. Yeah, that makes sense. Like a mutiny. Sure.
Right.
And then it's when you find that, like, the first time you find, like, and it's, like, not too long after that that you find the first memory where the Kraken appears. And it's
yep.
like, okay, the game's going to. The game's gonna be like that.
Yeah. So that's like one of the. That's what I meant about like you keep diving through scenes because holy shit, what's happening next, right? Like,
yeah.
oh fuck, what's over? Oh, fucking mermaids, and they shoot shit out of like they shoot spines and fucking kill people. That's rad.
The four mountains have magic. Have a magic seashell, you know? Yeah, like
those crab walkers. Those dudes are awesome.
Yeah, those dudes are sick.
Dude, the sound design for them is really good. Like, yeah, with the, yeah, like they have like just this really awful groaning noise. The spider
they chitter, they chitter. Holes. Yeah, they have that like chitter to them.
I was gonna say if this game had one more A on it, you know, like if it was double, triple, or you know, whatever. If it had one more A on it, I feel like once you finish one of the chapters, you know how there's like 8 chapters or whatever, right? Each one's like a different event, but all the events are like interrelated. But once you finish one of those events, if this was one more A on it, it would play that event in real time.
Oh, yeah. God. And I could walk around in the video.
You could walk around in the video. Like, what was that VR game that was like in a futuristic restaurant and the restaurant?
Okay, great. But if this was like a double or triple A game, you would get that, but also the graphic style would be like boring and realistic.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I'm just saying, I really wish that was the case, that I could watch these scenes in real time.
I want to watch that Kraken fucking flow, right? Like, I want to see that thing move.
I want to watch Henry Brennan and his many, many murders.
Yeah.
Jesus, he's right. A bad boy.
So many fucking people.
he's the one who starts the whole thing, right? He kills the one guy, and then they blame.
No, Henry Brennan is the he's the guy who has the knife in his teeth and he jumps off the back right at the beginning. He's right. The guy whose bullet actually kills the Chinese dude. He's the guy who clubs all those people on the first deck.
Right.
Yeah. He stabs the dude down underneath in the bottom deck.
Yep.
Yeah, he's got like that dude's got a body count.
And he's the one who framed the Formosan guard or whatever.
Yep.
Right?
That's what I was saying. Yep. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I thought that was somebody else.
No, Brennan's fucking everywhere. Like,
okay.
Like, if Brennan wasn't here, the ship would probably be okay. Like,
I was thinking Nichols. Nichols might have been the one who framed the guy, and then he steals the.
Yeah, I thought it was Nichols. That's what I was saying.
Okay, you're right. But like, Nichols and Brennan are kind of in on it together. So fuck both of them. Like,
right.
No, they're totally different conspiracies.
Okay.
Nichols is there's two separate mutinies. Nichols' mutiny and then the first mate's mutiny. Because Nichols' mutiny is just, we want to leave and we also want the treasure. And the first mate's mutiny is, we need to get the fuck out of here. Everyone's dying. And the captain's fuck you. This is my ship, right? Like, there's two separate issues.
The captain is the kind of bastard captain that needs to happen in this setting, right? Like,
first line you get from him is so great. It's you get what I fucking like. You get what you fucking deserve.
And yeah,
then you put that dude away.
So. Yeah, no, like that first dramatic moment is like, oh, there's some shit happening here, right? Like, and then you dive in and like it's just scene after scene of like even crazier shit, right? Like. Oh, now there's fucking spider dudes with spears and like,
which is tight because it forces you to be this East India Company, like detached, like yes, the butcher was shot in the back by spikes. I see, you know,
yeah.
Like, and then his estate will receive £5.
It's really wild that you're like an 1800s CSI in this game.
You're not even a CSI. You're a fucking bean counter. no offense, Ben.
That's all right.
I fucking hate that distinction between spiked and speared. That's fucking bullshit.
Well, Owen, you know, the cause of death is kind of, it's a little looser than anything else in the game because you don't have to get that exact.
Yeah, there's a number of times where you can, there's like 3 different things that'll work.
Yeah. I think you could have spiked or speared and just remove the other word.
I don't disagree, and I feel like a foreign enemy versus a terrible beast is also a little confusing at first, too.
Because they're all foreign enemies.
Right. Everything comes out of the fucking sea.
Everything is foreign here.
They're from goddamn Rela. Yeah, like they're not from here. They're from the chest that has like fucking white phosphorus in it or whatever. It melts.
I appreciate that the designer of this game went like hard on really fucked up mermaids instead of like Disney ass mermaids.
Not like hot mermaids, like fucking sea creatures that sort of look like people
with sharp teeth and fucking claws, and they shoot fucking hydralis spines out of their backs, like
and they look like lobsters.
Yeah. Oh man.
And when the cook tries to cook them, they murder him.
Yeah. It's really weird to me that the ending of this game feels like it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Like, you do all that work, and it's just kind of like, oh, yeah, here's, like, a little four-minute chapter. Enjoy it.
Yeah, here's 40, like, here's what happened for so-and-so's spouse, right?
Here's what happened, and also, it doesn't really matter in the context of it, right? Like,
I super disagree. I was super interested to see what happened, and I thought it was fucking hilarious that you get this monkey paw that lets you teleport in and see everything that happened in the in the Bailey or whatever it's called. I thought that that was tight, and like the captain fucking murders two mermaids, and
I definitely liked that the compass works on like fucking everything, like that reveal at the end of like, by the way, this shit can go all kinds of places.
And the,
right?
And the
like,
doctor smokes his own monkey.
Yeah,
to the mermaids. That shit's rad.
No, the monkey. I liked the monkey move a lot. Of like, I'm gonna kill my own monkey so that I can like deliver the last scene.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought it was tight.
It took me a long time to realize the guy who sent me was also someone on the ship.
Yeah, he's like the doctor from Morocco. Yeah.
And that the artist gets like choked out halfway through the game.
I love that the picture of him. There's no picture because he was the one who drew the picture of everybody.
Yeah, so you have to highlight his initials.
You have to highlight his initials, yeah. That shit was great.
It was very funny that when I was playing this game, on my TV, it was like one of the times that my roommate Steven, longtime listeners of the show might remember, Steven came in right as I was listening to the memory of the artist dying, which if you don't remember has some like cartoon
it has
cartoon like poop and fart noises.
Yeah it has the like Wilhelm scream version of fart. Yeah,
which is like, take your pick if it's him voiding his bowels or if it's like the air squeezing out of his lungs or
you know, weird gross fart noises from the squid monster, like whatever.
Yeah,
the squid doesn't make any fart noises anytime else, whatever. But he's the first victim of the squid.
Yeah.
Well, that's the other thing I like is that in a lot of situations you're working through the whole scene backwards.
Every situation you're working through the scene backwards, except for the last one.
The boat one, the one off the ship, you have to kind of, if you don't pick the bodies in the right order, it's not backwards, so it's kind of Tarantino.
I did every single scene. I was like, what is this, fucking Memento? And that's why I wanted it to play forward when I was
done. Yeah.
Or even just a button at the end of the game of just like, show me all the vignettes in like exact order.
Yeah, that would be cool too.
See, I was thinking, because that was where I was saying where it's kind of hard to piece the story together just by like opening up every scene and, you know, trying to catch every little detail. But
especially since the spaces that the dioramas exist in aren't the whole ship every time.
Right,
that some of them are a scope of like three people in a cabin, some of them are the top deck and the second deck, some of them are, you know, like, it varies in what parts of the ships you get to see.
The multi-deck ones always fucked with me, because I would always like miss one deck worth and have to go back in.
Totally.
That was the part that really brought me to a halt in this game, is I felt like a lot of times, like, there's enough times where a core, like, so, like, often in this game, you will be in a memory, and you will find another corpse, and you can, like, go into a memory inside a memory, basically.
Yeah.
And there's a number of times where the corpses are very small, where it'll be, like, a tiny piece of a person.
Oh, like a foot or something, yeah.
Yeah. And so there were many times where I couldn't figure out how to progress the game. Like, I couldn't find the nested memory within a memory. And it'll be like a three deck, like I have three decks available for me to rummage around on. And it's like, cool, who the fuck lost their thumb? Like what the fuck is it that I'm missing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, there was one down by where the cannon gets knocked loose. And I want to say that one, there was a corpse where I think somebody gets like shot out of one of the windows.
Yeah,
you don't really know, and that trying to find that corpse took me a little while because it was like,
God.
There's also the one where you like catch a dude's foot out of the window of a cabin, and then there's also the one where you catch a dude's foot outside of the where the mermaids are locked up.
Yep.
And then there's the dude in a barrel because
he's
the stowaway.
Yeah.
Right? It took me a while to figure out that the flies were an indicator of that.
Yeah, the flies helped a lot.
Yeah, I didn't even
notice these.
Oh, sorry.
No. No, so I kind of want to go back.
Flies floating around some stuff. Yeah, so there's some little flies floating around stuff, and the reason I figured it out is I kept looking at the cow skull and being like, why are there flies on it? And then I walked up to the cow skull, and it's like, oh, there's a scene here.
You whipped out your watch, and you're like, yeah. Oh, shit.
That was something that drove me crazy, is I kept, like, walking around waiting for, like, my guy to whip his watch out so I'd know, like, oh, yeah, there's, like, a tiny piece of a corpse here I'm missing. Except that, like, your watch has, like, kind of a wide radius on what it'll react to. So, like, sometimes it would react to, like, something to my right that is, like, definitely a corpse I've already examined, and I already know, like, what's up with that corpse.
Yeah, like, it's area-specific, not view-specific, right?
It's also got startup lag and end lag, to use fighting game terminology.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. That was what fucked with me, because I'd be, like, whipping around a room, and my dude would get out my watch, and I'd be like, well, it's somewhere in here.
Yeah, because like once you've been through this space enough times, like you start moving through it very quickly. It's like, I can ignore all this. I know what all these corpses are about. What's going on over here?
Yeah.
And that wind up and cool down time after of the watch coming out is. I do appreciate that this is a game where you have to actually watch your character reach for a doorknob every single time.
Yeah.
I do like that, although I don't like that all the doors on the pirate ship automatically close behind them.
Oh, I fucking hate that shit. Because it's just long enough for me to have finished checking the room right when it closed.
Yep. Yeah, that drove me absolutely bonkers. Especially when I got stuck in the game and I'm already, like, a little bit frustrated, and so I'm trying to, like, quickly just check all the spaces. Yeah. And it's like, oh, door's already closed to my face. Cool.
Fuck that. Alright, well, what'd you say, Ben?
I was just going to ask, did anyone else have a specific scene that they would reference frequently? Like, I found myself going to that execution scene quite a lot.
Oh, because that's the scene where everybody's at.
Yeah, like that. Once I figured that out, I feel like that really got the ball rolling for me in that game. You know,
I was really excited by that scene because I'd been staring at that photo, right? That drawing. And then I was like, oh, I can just walk around this drawing now. This is tight. Like,
yeah, I thought that was really cool.
I must be a fucking ding-dong, because it took me, like, a full, like, 5 minutes in that memory to realize, like, oh, this is that fucking drawing!
Right.
Yeah, and then you can find the artist. That's how I found him. It was like, oh, you're the guy who's not in this picture, because this is the perspective it was drawn from. Yeah. I would say... God, when was it? Yeah, it was like halfway through the game. I think I was on like the bottom deck. It was when I was going around. And I really started nailing the seamen because I noticed they all wear that like neckerchief, and I got like most of them down. And that was I think like the tipping point for me. It was just like noticing like, oh, there's only like two black seamen. Which of these names sound black? Let's plug and chug those two. See what's happening.
Well, and you know the guy with all the tattoos. I guess he was a topman though. But that one really threw me off because there was no real, like, nothing about his name, nothing about the race.
You talking about my man Mabba?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
So the thing with Mabba that got me was his point of origin.
Yeah.
So I saw his tattoos. I was like, those got to be, like, Pacific Islander tribal of some type. And then I looked at all the top men, and he was the only top man who fit that bill. That's how I was able to get him.
Smart.
Yeah,
okay.
I think that's how I came to it, too.
Huh. Yeah, the other one that really tripped me up was the Frenchman too. The guy walking around.
Oh no, because he's following around his boss the whole game, and his boss refers to him at some point. He's like, "My Frenchman, where's my Frenchman?" And his bros are like, "Dude, he got crushed by the Kraken. Like he's fucking gone, right?" Yeah, and that's what did it for me. Was like he's the big guy not talking upstairs, and then also he was the only French guy in his rank, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
And so I was like able to narrow that guy down really quick. Huh. This is like my type of game. I fucking really enjoyed myself playing this. I had a great time. I'm curious to hear what you guys would say about that.
I had a pretty good time with this game until I stopped having a good time with it.
Mm-hmm, okay.
I kind of hit a wall at a certain point in the game, and my enthusiasm for it kind of bled off. Like I was having a pretty good time of it. until the game really wanted me to like name a lot of names.
Mm-hmm. You were having a good time until the test.
Yeah, so. Basically. Yeah, yeah. I was just like, yeah, put me through these scenes. Like, I'll jot down little details I notice. Like, oh yeah, that guy sounds Scottish. That's probably him.
And like, I definitely treated it like two games because of that. Like, yeah. There was the exploratory phase, and then there was the like, all right, let's solve this motherfucker phase.
Hit the books.
Yeah. I think it'd be really cool to see more games sort of in this style. Just because, like, hey, let's tell a weird fucked up story.
Lives at some point, right?
Yeah, yeah, but like, I don't think that's going to be quite the same.
No, but I'm saying, like, so so the gameplay in this game really reminded me of Outer Wilds in how the gameplay is discovering things, mm-hmm. but it was mm-hmm. you're discovering a different type of thing. In Outer Wilds, it's largely like environments and how to navigate them, but in this, it's interpersonal relationships and small details and that kind of thing. That was my fucking jam. I had a good time, Ben.
I think that there were certain things, like, again, the sense of discovery I thought was great. There were parts of the game that I really was enjoying figuring out, like the treasure hunt I thought was really cool. The execution part, piecing that together was good. But kind of in line with what Owen was saying, there definitely were a few that I felt like I was walking around for a while and not getting anywhere. But all in all, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a cool style. I thought it was remarkably well done, and even though it has that appearance of like an old Mac computer game, like I felt like the characters within it were very detailed, you know, by comparison to mm-hmm. what you would find in an old pixelated game.
Honestly, the game just needs to teach you how to play it a little bit better. I'm not going to say that it needs like an explicit tutorial, but like the best games are the games that teach you how to play them as you play them.
Yeah, like I feel like I figured out really late in the game that when you look at the roster of positions, how there is for every like rough rank, there is a unknown name option, but with the rank selected for you to. And I didn't realize at first that those are supposed to be for your use for when you've figured out someone's rank, but you don't know who they are.
Right.
So you can just like earmark them as like, I don't know who this is, but I know that they're a topman, or I don't know who this is, but they're one of the stewards.
Right.
And like I figured it out like maybe the last night that I played the game, and I was like, man, this would have been like really useful earlier, because this is like basically what I was saying to myself as I was playing that I wish I had, but I didn't understand that that's why the interface was the way it was.
Right.
I thought the interface was trying to tell me that there are like mystery people or something like that.
There are I think one mystery person.
Yeah. There's a stowaway.
Beyond the stowaway, I think, but I'm not. I could be wrong.
Okay.
Anyway, so I would be really interested to in like 18 months from now play this with a group of people.
Sure.
And
take a little bit of a backseat and just nudge every time I think they're stuck. I think that would be a really enjoyable experience for me. That'd be a good time.
Yeah, I could see that. I really like the music in it. I didn't expect this game to have like really bombastic music, but like,
yeah, it's nice. It doesn't get old.
A lot of them are, the songs are pretty ominous too. You know, like,
yeah. I remember like when this game came out a couple years ago, seeing the artwork for it, and in my head, I had already sort of like leapt to this conclusion that it would have like droning and miserable sounding music, because the whole thing looks so gloomy and nasty.
Well, and the music like has a stylistic difference each chapter, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's all a little bit different. Like it leans on an accordion here, and it leans on a string instrument here, and there's a horn over here, like.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Each chapter has its own flavor.
It's got themes and motifs for all the goings on.
Yeah.
All right. So, cool game. Any closing remarks, gentlemen?
Not really.
Before we advance to the bad standards,
before we get into all the fucked up shit we do.
Yeah.
We get into the jelly at bottom bread.
Well, let's do some video game crimes.
Okay, let's do crimes. All right. So in this portion of the podcast, Ben, I am going to say a video game to you, mm-hmm. and you are going to assign this game a value between 0 and 5 of that video game for this video game. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this could be like five Half-Lives or something like
that. Right, exactly. You got it.
And that's based on like a multitude of feelings about Half-Life and this game.
And your feelings about Half-Life don't have to be ours. So like you could give it five Half-Lives and be like, yo, what the fuck? But like
this is a very divisive system.
Sure.
Yeah. It's very subjective, almost meaningless, but not.
Almost meaningless. That's the key. Also, after you give it a number, the rest of us are going to do our best impression of a video game sommelier and agree or disagree with you, and then we're going to come to a consensus as to an actual number and mark that down in our records.
That should be our new slogan, almost meaningless.
All right, so are you ready, Ben?
I am ready.
Okay, so how many Disco Elysiums? This is going to be a tough one for you.
Oh, yeah, he's played it before.
No, I mean, I just meant the whole thing. But how many Disco Elysiums out of five does the Return of the Obra Dinn receive? And why?
I'm gonna give it four.
Wow.
Huh.
Well, you must defend that with additional statements. This isn't like, you don't just yell a number.
Sorry.
This isn't the Olympics. This is your dissertation.
This is the Wassail, buddy.
And yeah, why? Sorry. I'm used to doing the shot put, you know, it's like I throw and I walk away. well, Owen's not going to like me saying this, but I think I played about an hour-ish, maybe, of Disco Elysium, maybe less.
No, and
I played,
like more like 20 minutes.
Okay, so I played at least four times that much time in this game, so I was, that's kind of where I was reaching my conclusion.
Hell yeah.
So, but like, what similarities do you see, I guess?
I see. Well, based on the short time that I played it,
they're both detectives, I guess.
Yeah. In a certain sense. I suppose you're trying to solve things. I think I stopped Disco Elysium finding out how to get out of that hotel room.
Okay.
Yeah, so I solved
it. You never even made it out of the hotel room?
I did, and then it was a drunken night, Matt. You know, it was more like it wasn't the right time to play the game.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Fair. I'm just trying to get a handle on where you. I'm not like no judgment here.
No.
We are bad playstyle because there's no wrong way to play a game.
Fair enough.
Which includes not at all.
Yeah.
I'd say four because it's got cool graphics, cool music, and
okay.
And Owen seemed to like it, so.
All right. Well, hey, that's.
That's fair.
I was uncompelled until you said the last thing. So, gentlemen, what do you feel? How do you feel about four? How do you feel about that? And this is. I said consensus earlier. That's incorrect. It's you just need a majority. So at this point, if three people agree on a number, that's the number, and the fourth person.
Can go fuck themselves. Have we ever had a tie on the bad standards?
We have never had a tie. On the bad standards.
I think because of the sort of round robin rotational nature of our opinions, the last person recognizes when it's a tie and has to side somewhere.
I want to go last then.
Oh. I was hoping that wouldn't be the case, but all right. I think there are a lot of similarities between these two games. I think Disco Elysium has a lot more like mechanical meat to it. There's a lot more like systems you're having to deal with that create different experiences. Like you're having to deal with a lot more failure. Failure is expected in Disco Elysium, unlike almost every other video game.
You personally fail more. Everyone on the Obra Dinn fails at something.
So I was talking about player character, but it's like dude in Disco Elysium, he fails a lot. And that's like okay, and it's part of the way the game goes. But in this game, you're not allowed to fail. You have to eventually succeed. At your
although goals. There is like a good and bad ending to this game.
There is.
Which all right, whatever. I'm not. There's not time to get into true endings.
Okay, whatever. So I honestly I agree with most of the things that Ben said, but I'm going to have to go with a three. And not a four. And I think that's mostly due to just Ben's lack of exposure to the system in general. So, yeah.
Fair.
All right, Keenan, where do you fall?
Apparently you have to go now, Keenan.
Yeah.
I also like three because, like, it has some similar, like, you know, mystery elements and you're... In this case, you're, like, actually legitimately, like, opening people up in some cases. But it's all very, like, similarly, like a small piece of a much larger thing.
Oh yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
You're sort of compartmentalizing of stuff. The way I feel like certain areas of Disco Elysium, like you're learning details in this zone about this thing, mm-hmm. kind of works. So yeah, three.
Well, as tempted as I am to do a tie just for the sake of making a tie, because I think it would be fun to four Disco Elysiums, I think for me to say that I, based on the past of what I've said about Disco Elysium, I think it would be indefensible for me to call it four Disco Elysiums.
Yeah. Where are you? Are you outing yourself right now? Because we never really.
I'm stuck between two places. Because I feel I'm in a difficult position because I feel like calling it three Disco Elysiums is too much, and calling it two is too little.
I was struggling with that too.
Yeah,
like four felt like too much, and two is too little, but also three feels weird. So I understand what you're saying. Like,
well, I think three in the face of Ben's four is where I was at.
Okay.
Something that stands out to me about Disco Elysium that this game is completely absent in this game is Disco Elysium is a very humanizing game of almost all the characters that are in it.
Mm-hmm.
And no one is really very warmly humanized in this game. They all just sort of suffer and die at the ends of their own greed and things like that. Like it's very much just like that style of old tall tale.
Right.
There's no room for
people. And then 18 hands were lost to the Kraken. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And like there's not like a lot of humor in it. Like there's little bits here and there that are a little goofy, but whatever. I'm fine with giving it a 3.
It was 16 hands, my bad.
Yeah. I'll give it 3. I'll give it 3.
You go with 3. All right.
But just so I don't keep bumbling about this.
Now, Ben.
Mm-hmm.
Have you played the video game Temtem?
I have not.
Do you know when it is?
I don't.
Well, this is going to be quite difficult for you then, huh? You can do whatever you want, but this isn't like a game show. I mean, no, Temtem is it's a Pokemon like on PC, but it's always doubles battles, and it sort of like takes what it likes about Pokemon and rips it off and discards the things it doesn't like.
Okay,
right, and that's our next game. How many out of 5?
I'm gonna go with 2 Temtems.
Okay.
And my rationale here is I've played the new Pokemon, and I think it's fun, but I would say that I'm going to change it to 3 now that I'm thinking about it.
Okay.
I would say that my enjoyment of the game was at least 3 times as much of that as the new Pokemon.
Excellent.
That's a great line of reasoning. Love it.
Excellent. See, I love that Ben's running with the thing. You shouldn't have told him that it was very subjective. I love when the
he's approached the bad standards in his own way, and I'm fine with that.
I like it and I love it because in the past we've not explained that it's a very subjective system, and the guests have just sort of had to scrabble and show their ass on how little they actually listen to the podcast. And I really like that dynamic, but you're doing good for yourself here, Ben. You said a 3?
Yeah, I'm saying 3 Temtems.
Okay, 3 Temtems out of 5. How do you feel about that, boys? I'm pretty okay with it.
I'm giving it a 1.
You're giving it a 1?
I give it a 1. Wow.
That's quite the
stance. Is it a 1?
Because you can fail forward in Temtem. Like you can just grind your fucking face against a grindstone, and eventually you'll succeed in Temtem. And you really can't do that in this game, especially if you haven't even been able to identify a crew member's face. It won't even let you guess who, like how they died and things like that. Like you can't flail at it incompetently. You have to engage it at its systems on its level.
You have to engage with it as intended.
Yeah.
How are you feeling, Keenan?
Like also that and all the other ways in which it's different from Temtem, where it doesn't have little cutesy demons and like.
I would say that it having a very distinctive art style is a thing to say anyway. Keenan.
I like 3 because I feel like it's a game a lot like Temtem where it looked at something that existed and then did it on its own terms. And yeah, it forces you to play it by its own terms and you don't fail forward, but there's a lot of games that don't fail forward, so I'm not really going to hold that against it.
I think it's worth mentioning. I think Owen raised a lot of good points. I'm down to a 2. We're deadlocked.
Well, no, because I said a 1, and you're saying a 2, and these two young men are saying 3. So
oh,
three
yeah,
it
so
is.
I think it's a 3?
Yeah.
Unless you guys want to change your vote now that you've heard what everybody else had to say.
I'm standing strong with
all right, 3. Standing strong? All right. Cool.
I'm good with the 3.
I'm just saying that's an option. I'm just trying to lay that out. All right, Ben?
Yes.
Breath of the Wild.
Oof.
Yeah, right?
Oof. It's always how I feel about this
one.
We
picked some good ones this time around, gentlemen. Yeah.
God. So it has to be at least 1.
Can be a 0. It can be a 0. We have handed out... Oh, and 0 is what we mostly hand
0
out,
is very
right?
common.
Yeah. Like, as like the resident miser... of bad standards, like you can give out 0s. Fuck it. If you told us you're giving it a negative value, I'd accept that.
Yeah. Hey, it's your party, bud.
Yeah.
I mean, I would kind of lean towards maybe like a 0.2 out of 1.
No, all numbers, man. All numbers.
Yeah.
Numbers.
Okay. We don't do that shit.
Negative is acceptable. All right. I think my rationale for a 1. Is that Breath of the Wild has so much going on. You know, there's so many puzzles, so many things to do that, you know, you could spend 240 hours in that game. And I think I spent about 20 in this one. So just the sheer scope of it is something completely different. But in terms of like graphics and what it did for the gaming industry, I mean, they're almost neck to neck in my book. So I'm kidding about that part.
All right,
you got such a deadpan delivery. It's
you could convince me with that. Like, oh no, he totally believes that.
So you're going with a 1 here. That's what
I'm going to give it a 1. Yeah.
All right, gentlemen, how do we feel about that?
Keenan, you have to go first.
God, I was just not into thinking about the bad standards today. All right.
I'm having a hard time.
Okay, yeah, sure.
That's kind of where I'm at too with this one.
I'm going to go and I'm going to just go ahead and say that I feel like a 1 is acceptable because there's like a little bit of that like adventure, you know, because you're on like a ship, mm-hmm. you know, and there's like all this mystery, but like it's very tightly controlled. Which is the opposite of Breath of the Wild. But there's a little bit. You know, so I'm with 1.
I like 1 because, like, artistically and musically, like, it goes big in the same sort of I'm doing my own shit way as they both do. But beyond that, like, I'm not really there. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
So 1's all around?
Yeah, yeah. I think I'll follow suit there.
All right.
I kept trying to like kind of like con like there's something in the back of my brain that wants to bump it up from a 1, but I can't figure out what it is.
It's like this sort of painty drawing art style that they both share that like that's the thing that brings it together for me.
Ben, there's two more going on here. You got Titanfall 2.
Oh, yep, one of my favorites.
But ours too. We played it for the podcast. It was a great time. Thanks, Keenan.
I'm gonna look it up real quick so I can see what it is.
Oh, you don't even know what Titanfall 2 is. see, this is you got me with the delivery again.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay, so it's a what? First person shooter?
Yeah, with robots and space guns.
All right. I'm gonna give it a 1 because because they're both first person games, and you've both have been played for this podcast.
All right.
There we go.
Interesting rationale.
I'm going to argue with that. Who can argue with that?
I mean, I'm going to argue with that. I'm going to give it a 0 because no. These games have nothing to do with each other.
I'm strongly at 0, no wall running.
And, well, and also, like, you know, I appreciate your attempts at flattery, but I see you. I'm putting a zero out there, fellas, and I feel like I'm hearing Keenan backing me up.
Yeah.
Okay. Zero. So I'm gonna pull out what I would call the Keenan Bailey patented reaching comparison.
isn't that what Ren just did?
In Titanfall 2, there's a time travel level. To see frozen moments of the past, like as they were happening years and years ago.
Oh, well done, sir.
So I'm gonna give it a two.
A two for time travel. Hell yeah.
If it here's the thing. That fucking like the cause and effect level in Titanfall 2. The thing is, when that game came out, it was all anyone could fucking talk about. Mm-hmm. If it were just any other level in the game, it was like ho hum, whatever. But it was like it was the one. It's the thing everyone knows about Titanfall 2.
It's the gimmick. Yeah.
Even though I think the moving levels are way cooler.
Yeah, I agree. Actually.
So okay, unless someone changes,
I'm still overruled. But like, I have to say it for public record.
Yeah. It's out there. It's a zero. All right, last one, Ben. You've almost made it through the gauntlet. Gang Beasts.
Oh wow. That one I have played.
Most people. I'm
gonna go ahead and give it five Gang Beasts. And my whole thought here is. In Gang Beasts, it's, you know, four people trying to kill each other. And this game was about, you know, 60 people trying to kill each other. So really, it's a very similar concept.
Yeah, it was basically the same game. It's like a sequel.
And honestly, I would love for an interactive version of this game to come out where you could play with up to 60 people online and try to kill each other the whole time.
With nothing but grab and lift buttons where you throw them off the ship. Yeah.
Dude, it's called PvK.
The Kraken excels at this game, by the way.
You could also throw your compass and your book if you wanted to, but then you have to retrieve it afterwards too.
I can just see the re-release of Return of the Oberdin: Gang Beasts 2.
Hey, and Owen, I think it'll actually be the Return of the Return of the Oberdin.
Yeah. Oh, shout out, by the way, to this game's objective or achievement when you finish the game, because it's just Oberdun.
Yeah, I thought that was great.
Yeah.
I played it on the Switch, so there's no achievements there.
All right, well, I wholeheartedly disagree with every categorically with all of the things you've said, and I feel like you're copping out because you don't want to give a good answer.
He gave a great answer.
Oh my god.
He gave his answer. That's okay.
All right. Well, no. Okay. So, guys, what do you think?
I think it's five Gang Beasts, obviously.
I'm at zero Gang Beasts. Gang Beasts has more than one color.
It's kind of its fundamental quality.
Yep. All
right. Well, that's a zero for me then.
So that's a tie. Mm-hmm. So, well, we'll just have to round it to a 2.5.
But we don't do halves.
Let me round it up to a three.
Yeah. Ben makes a good point. Because we don't do halves, we're going to have to round it up to a three. It's three Gang Beasts.
No.
It's a 0/5 Gang Beasts.
Wait. What if it's a 5-0? Like, what if it's 50 Gang Beasts?
No, because that's you guys winning. More. On this.
Yeah. Ben, you gotta help me out. I can't do this alone.
Well, no, you can. And I don't know. We don't have, like, there's no bylaw for this. I think that, like, you guys, like, you do make, like, cogent points, but you are giving a joke answer, so...
I also like it because it completely breaks the possibility that we do another end-of-year show the same way.
Well, we're never going to do
that. I know, but now we have an even better excuse.
Yeah. Well,
with this 0-5 score.
All right. Well,
We made this bed. I think we have to sleep in it.
No, I don't think that's true. Yeah, we don't have to talk about it right now, but I don't think that's true.
All right, well, shall we move on?
Yeah, let's move on. I guess there's no score for Gang Beasts. That's fine. Okay. Oh, yeah, Ben, you have to do one more thing.
Okay.
I don't think you can. Owen, do you want to do it?
it's time for the good detective, Harry.
I think I can take a whack.
Okay, yeah
Keenan, you do it.
Okay. So let's summarize. This is the part of the show. What's the title of it?
I don't think it has a title.
I thought it was like Sam Fisher versus presents the Guybrush Threepwood scenario or something.
Sure.
So this is the part of the show where we take a character from a game we have chosen and put them in the game we have discussed.
We switch it out like once a season.
It changes when the bad standards change. And this season's character we are planting into games is Harrier Dubois from
Disco Elysium.
From Disco Elysium. And I think because of the investigatorial nature and the fact that Harry Dubois has all of those inner people and skills to fall upon, all those intuitions, I think he gets through this game pretty well.
Dude, Harry, fucking Harry would go to town with that watch.
I think he's into it, right? Like being able to dive in and fucking.
Can you imagine him behind the whirling in rags with like the strung up mercenary, and he just rips out the pocket watch and is like,
this is what happened. Done.
Oh, he just got shot.
Yeah. So like I think like not only have you given this guy who already had the tools to work it out, but like you gave him another tool to work it out. And I think he flies through it and then gets very drunk.
Yeah. Do you think there's any booze left on the Oberdin? Like there probably is, right?
I don't know. It's a couple years old though.
Yeah, but like everyone died prematurely and they probably brought enough booze for the whole trip.
I don't know. Most of the dates are 1803, and it's 1807 when you're running around. So,
right, but booze don't go bad.
I don't know.
Booze just gets like boozer.
I also like at the end of the game that there's like a scarab on the shelf, and you're just like, wait, what? Like, there's a lot of weird like allusions to other shit this person has done.
It definitely gave me. I saw Murder on the Orient Express a couple of years ago, and that movie just ends with a setup for one of Agatha Christie's other novels, like for Death on the Nile. And it definitely gave me that vibe, and it's like, the Oberdin investigator will return in... Death on the Nile, or
that's
whatever.
That's a beautiful segue to what our next game is, Owen. Great work.
Oh, yeah.
Frog Detective 2, Frog Detective Returns In, is our next game.
What is it called? It's not just Frog Detective 2. It's
A Case of the Invisible Wizard.
Yeah, so that's what we're playing next time.
Golden Toilets Go.
Oh.
Like so many.
Like the game's kind of built on them, right?
Yeah. The whole boat's a fucking toilet skull.
More brown.
Definitely.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's the totality of exploration into those two ideas we're going to do today.
I want to say the magic words and then end the podcast.
Okay, if you want to contact us like Zane did, you can reach us at badplaystyle@gmail.com. You can reach us on Twitter at badplaystyle. You can find our podcast anywhere where you can download podcasts like Stitcher and iTunes and Google Music. If you want to look at our website for some reason, you can go to shame.club or shame.business. Am I forgetting anything?
No.
Tight.
Never forgotten anything.
I've forgotten so many things.
See later.
Hey, bye!
Composed by Ben, aka Bucci Baby. You can hear this and more like it at soundcloud.com/BucciBay. That's BUCCIBAY. AE. Stay fresh.